Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And glad you could be with us. It is Wake Up Call here on a Friday. It's SB Nation Radio. Tony D, Ron Culver. So Mike Silver of the NFL Network is reporting that he has multiple teams, or he knows multiple teams, are interested in Colin Kaepernick's services as quarterback. However, Kaepernick's camp has denied that, saying that, well, if there are, no one has got in touch with us. This is going down the road that I said was going to happen. I think that there are going to be so many teams that will say the right thing, but in the end are hoping somebody else signs him. They might all go, yeah, maybe we were wrong about this guy 4 years ago. Maybe what happened to him should have not happened to him in terms of not being in this league. But it isn't going to be on them. They want another team to do that and bring him back into the league. This is one of the reasons why I am not in the camp that you'll see Colin Kaepernick on a roster in 2020. I don't think you will. I think you'll see the NFL change its thought process on players kneeling. But I don't think Kaepernick gets the invite back into this league. Now, I could be wrong. Again, there might be the lone team that says, you know what, we're going to do it. We're going to pull the trigger and do it. With all the scrutiny it's going to come from our fan base that doesn't like him, we're going to do it anyway. But I think this is a simple case of 32 teams all really hoping that the other 31 do something that they don't want to do. That's the way I look at it. And this is why a story like this is not surprising, where you have conflicting stories about what exactly is going on with the interest. One saying that teams are interested, because they probably will say to any reporter that, yeah, we'll be interested in them. Sure, yeah, when we can get around to it, yeah. But actually calling up Kaepernick's camp as to what it would take, what's he interested in, what's he looking for, all of those things, that's a completely different story. But again, I could be wrong on this, because I do want to give teams the benefit of the doubt in terms of the other. I don't think it's all under the table, underhanded. But the way I'm looking at the 2020 season, the way I'm looking at the way the league is kind of turned a 180 to how they view Kaepernick now, it still will be surprising if he is on a roster when the 2020 season starts, or at any time when you pick up a quarterback at any time during the year.
Listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good, bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Don't want to miss that as we continue on a Friday Wake Up Call. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Also, like us on Facebook, Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. You can send us a message there if you're so inclined. Malcolm Jenkins of the New Orleans Saints told CNN that football is a non-essential business and they don't need to do it. So he says he says, look, he's got to be 100% sure before he would be okay to go back. I don't know how many players feel this way in terms of being a non-essential business. We know that. Look, sports, we know what it is. I mean, most of us have our head on straight. We know what sports is. We know it's an entertainment. We know it's an important part of entertainment, but we know it's entertainment. No, it is not on the same level as essential businesses that this country needs to operate, right? It is not hospitals. It is not, teaching our children, all that. It's an entertainment. It's part of our life that is what we do when we're not working our 40, 50 hours a week. But it is vital to, I mean, I think there's a balance in this world that you have to have. It's a vital part for a lot of people in terms of the way their lives are. They work and they work, they take care of their families, they take care of their kids, and then they have this as an avenue to sort of relax and sort of put their emotion into something that's a roller coaster ride that doesn't have real ramifications unless you're betting your entire house and your life savings on a particular game. If you're just watching sports for an entertainment value, It's part of your fabric. Right? It does unify people. It does unify cities when a team is playing for a championship. You see it all the time. It does divide when you have one city against another city. It's kind of part of the atmosphere of it. Again, I've always used this kind of thought process. You know, if you had an alien being and he came down and you tried to explain to him why these athletic competitions, you took him to an NBA game, for example, and the alien was like, why are people putting a ball in a net? Why is that a big deal? It's hard to explain. It would be hard to explain to someone who's so foreign to it, because even the non-sports fans in our lives know that it's important, right? I have a couple of them in my life, really good friends who don't care about sports at all. But even they know, like, when the Titans are winning, it's a big deal. When the Predators are winning, it's a big deal. They don't discount it. They're not puzzled by it. They're not, you know, they just go, it's not my thing, but I get it. You know, I completely get it. If you had somebody that didn't get it at all, didn't understand it at all, it would be very hard to explain why it's important. I wonder, though, how many people who are not on the level of Malcolm Jenkins, who play in the league, are saying, yeah, I know we're non-essential, but look, this is my only period of time in my life where I'm going to be making the kind of money I'm making. And I only have a window of 4 or 5 years. I'm not a superstar. You know, my job is at risk all the time of somebody coming along. It's just a little bit better at it. But for right now, I got a good contract. I got a good situation. I'm making good 6-7 figures a year. I'm not on the level of getting big guaranteed contracts. I'm not on the level of staying in this league until I'm in my mid 30s. But I do have there's enough of a window here to make enough money that I can use that money for other things. Maybe I want to do another business, or whether I want to make my money work for me, or whatever it is. I am setting myself up in this very brief window, and it is important for me to be on the field playing. It is important for me to play. NFL is so much different than other sports in that regard, right? Where you see this a lot, where guys are in this league, they're in this league and they make a little bit of money, and then they disappear and you never see them again and you never hear from them again. And next thing you know, they're either on your local sports radio station, or they're, you know, maybe they're in a business and they're selling insurance, or they're selling real estate, or whatever it is they're doing. And you say, wow, weren't you a running back at one time for the Chargers? And they're like, yeah, I had a brief period of time. There's a lot of guys in the league like that. So I wonder, I mean, again, it's easy to speak as a guy who's, you know, got a nice guaranteed amount of money and a good contract, has had a good career. Not everything he's saying is wrong. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I agree completely with him. I mean, look, in terms of football being a non-essential business, I just don't think that because it's a non-essential business, it doesn't mean it can't be pursued. It doesn't mean it can't be put in place. You got to come to an agreement as to the safety and the protocol of it, but I don't think it needs to not come back because it's non-essential. There's plenty of businesses in America that are non-essential, but are vital to the fabric of what we're doing. They're just not essential. I mean, but at the same time, people do need to go back to work. I mean, anytime you go provide for your family, no matter what you do for a living, it's essential. I mean, look, I say this all the time about what I do, right? When the aliens come, I'm not going to the cave, okay? I'm not going into when the asteroid comes, like in Deep Impact, I don't get to go, right? They don't need me for the next projection of civilization, all right? I'm not a botanist, right? I'm not an engineer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a surgeon. They don't need me for the next generation. But you know what? It's what I do, right? And there's no way around that. There's a lot of people like me that do jobs where, yeah, I mean, if the asteroid came, you wouldn't get invited. You wouldn't get the special pass into the cave of importance. But it doesn't mean that there's not a financial fabric to it all, right? I mean, so again, everybody's got to assess their own risk and how they go about to work. In his case, he can't work from home, right? I mean, that's a problem. Whereas other businesses have said, yeah, you know what? Maybe we're not saving lives, but our business model has now changed where most of our employees are finding a way to work from home. So we are now putting in place policies that are going to make our employees safer. Because before, you'd have to drive 20 minutes into an office, you'd sit in a cubicle, and now we're realizing, what were we doing that for? We don't have to do that. But in the NFL's case, you can't, right? So you have to show up for camp. You have to show up for practice. You have to show up for work. You have to get on the team plane. You have to fly across the country. You have to play a game. You have to get back on that team plane and fly all the way home. And there's a lot of places in that process that are going to break down. They're going to break down for any team that travels, whether it's what Major League Baseball is trying to do, keeping travel limited, or what the NHL is doing, where everybody goes to a hub city and plays, or the NBA, even the NBA in the bubble in Orlando, there's going to be a breakdown or two. The NFL is probably more susceptible to that, given that they plan business as usual. And if you've ever been around an NFL team, from the moment they leave, get ready to leave for a road trip, to when they return home, it is a whirlwind mess. It's amazing that it goes off without a hitch. From loading the plane, the players reporting, getting on that plane, getting off that plane, getting into that hotel, checking into that hotel, getting into curfew, going to the stadium, playing the game, all of that stuff being unloaded. Then they don't stay the next day. They leave immediately afterwards, including Monday nights and Thursday night and Sunday night games. So they don't get back until their home city sometimes until very, very late. I mean, famously, the New York Giants they played the Denver Broncos the day before 9/11. They played on September 10th. And famously, they flew in. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they landed in Newark and they saw, you know, they were witness to some of the things that were going on in the city at the time because they were flying back very, very late. It takes a while for a team to get back, you know, to go on the road, play a game, and come back. Now, think about all of the breakdowns that could happen just in that scenario in terms of COVID and your exposure, right? So he's not wrong here. He's not wrong in that, yeah, there's the risk has to be nearly eliminated before he feels comfortable about going back. Because he knows, being an NFL player, there's just no way to be in a bubble traveling as an NFL team with everything that comes your way in that process. And he knows what that's going to be like. No matter what you try to do, there's going to be a guy on the team somehow, some way that could get it because there's just too many variables that you can't control. This is the risk that the unions have to weigh. This is one of the reasons why people were so mad at Major League Baseball, because they weren't talking about any of that. They were talking about money. If they were talking about that, you'd at least feel a little level of sympathy or at least some sort of connection to the league as they were trying to keep their players safe. If it was a safety debate, we'd all be kind of talking about that. We'd all be like, well, I'm sympathetic to that. You know, my wife, for example, she runs a number of optometry offices in southern Nashville. And so she's the office manager. She's got like four offices. And she has to go to these offices. And she hates it. Like, she can't work from home. She can't bring work home because of HIPAA. But I do. I do. So there's a sympathy I have for people that can't work from home. And there's people who I'm glad work from home because they have been able to sort of eliminate some of the risk. But athletes, that's a conversation they have to make themselves. It's a conversation they have to have with their union. That's a conversation they have to have with the ownership. Non-essential, of course, but there is a fabric to football that I think works in these cities that I hope more athletes realize. But I would never want an athlete to pursue something they don't feel safe. If they have a family member that they're worried about catching this virus through them, I would not want them to play just shut up and go back to work. I said this about the NBA. Any player that wants out of this thing, I am not going to criticize. I don't care who it is. I'm not going to say you're letting your team down. You know, you're a vital component of a championship run for that organization. I'm not going to do that because I am not in their shoes. I don't know what they're dealing with in their family on a day-to-day basis. We talked about this with Avery Bradley, right? He's pulling out because his son has got a respiratory illness and he's really worried about catching this. And he's really worried that his kid can't get through the bubble in Orlando and he's going to not see him for a period of time, right? Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be a father. He's pulling out of the NBA restart. You're going to see more and more players do this. Maybe in the NFL, as we ramp up getting ready for camp, a number of players say, you know what? I can't do this. I just can't. I can't do a 17-week season with eight of these trips where I know something's going to break down and go wrong. And it doesn't take me getting it. It doesn't matter if I, it doesn't mean I get it. It means one of my teammates get it and I can get it through my teammate. Or I get it through a player I'm playing against. I don't have a, I can't criticize that. But I understand, again, I understand where he's coming from. Non-essential business, I agree with. I just, there are players that are going to need this. And I hope this isn't something that trickles all the way down and they go, oh, well, we don't have enough players now. So we shall see.
It's just too tricky.
It is. It is. I mean, listen, I mean, you know, seeing an NFL team travel is crazy. It's crazy. Because it's not like baseball. Baseball lands, they get a hotel, they stay. Oh, I know. Even when I travel, it's nuts. But, you know, when you're doing these quick turnarounds, when you're doing these, like, we're leaving on, you know, Saturday, we're landing in the city, we're playing Sunday afternoon, and we're flying back. I mean, think about how many people are just in and out.
Yeah.
Of everything. I mean, there's so
and
many.
That's the problem, because that means how are you going to maintain the bubble?
That's right. It's almost impossible to maintain the bubble. And right now, we don't have any plan from the NFL to say, well, we're not going to do this, or these people have been eliminated, so players are, like, the NBA is saying, shower in your own place, change in your own room, and show up already changed. Major League Baseball is doing that too. No showers. What do you do? An NFL player is not going to be able to take a shower in the stadium. He's supposed to get on a plane just like the way he left the field. It's not going to happen. There's no place to, you know, they got to have some things the way they were, and that's going to increase the risk. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That's coming up in 15. Don't want to miss that as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in about 10 minutes. The Dust Bowl, the Dust Storm is coming in.
Yep.
Is that what we're doing this weekend?
Yeah, that's what this weekend's all about.
Hitting Houston and the southeastern part of the United States?
Yeah, I thought it would maybe hit in July, so July had something, but right? I don't know if July's going to have anything.
I saw a really funny tweet. So one of the TV stations, weather station, you know, posted this map, right? And it had the dust storm and where it was hitting and where it's coming. And somebody posted, I always wondered what it was like to live during the time of the Civil War, Spanish flu, Great Depression, Civil Rights Movement, Watergate, and the Dust Bowl. Not all at once, but, you know, what, beggars can't be choosers. And that's true. 2020 is getting to be really nuts. Is this going to be, are we going to be dirty? Is that what it's going to be like? I'm going to just go outside and be filled with dust particles?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm just, you know, you shake your head and just, you're going to look like Pigpen.
All right. Well, I'm just going to stay inside then.
What else is new?
Are we really
maybe we're just not meant to see the outdoors.
Okay, but is this really, because I hate this. I mean, again, this is, it doesn't feel like the media is predicting that this is awful. Like, is this going to be like, oh, like, is that what we're doing? Or is it just going to be like, nice sunset, and, you know, I got to brush off my patio furniture.
And
what exactly is this?
I'm not really sure. I'll let you know, but I have no idea.
All right.
I mean, all I keep hearing is, like, it's going to make for spectacular sunrises and sunsets.
Yeah, that's all I'm hearing. I'm not hearing.
You can't be outside and breathe. That's
but,
fine.
But hold on. But that's what I'm asking. I mean, we're assuming that because we have a tendency to take a news like that and just make it to be the worst thing ever. Ocean of sand outside your door.
I'm just saying 2020 is being very dramatic.
Right. So that's what I'm wondering. Why aren't the weather people saying, hold on. Before you think it's going to be like you can't go outside or just sun, particles of sand is going to be all over your face. And you're going to, It's just a fuse. It's sand, but it's not. It's just going to dirty up your furniture. But
yeah, I mean, it's not lasting forever.
No, it's not.
But, you know, when you see those pictures of the Caribbean, you just don't want to go outside this weekend.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering.
So it's another weekend where you have to stay indoors.
Michael says he's a structural engineer, so when the asteroid comes, he'll put a good word for us.
Okay.
Into the cave. Remember how freaky that movie was, Deep Impact, when Morgan Freeman was the president of that movie. The asteroid was coming, for those who haven't seen it, and he has to tell America.
That was a comet.
No, comet. That's right. The asteroid was Armageddon. Which one was the... never mind. It doesn't really matter. But there was a destructive force coming down, and Morgan Freeman, who was the president, had to tell America that the plan B, because plan A didn't work, plan B was they had built a series of caves. And so they were having a lottery to determine who got to go into the cave.
Yep.
But they already picked important people to get into the cave. Like, they weren't messing around. They already found the very important people that they were going to need.
Top scientists, of zoologists. Because remember, they were doing like a Noah's Ark thing. We're taking animals two by two.
Taking animals in there, botanists for plants and gardens. All people were really important. They got to go. And if you had a skill that wasn't really needed, when they emerged, you had to wait in the lottery to be just a citizen.
What's more realistic? 2012, remember that movie?
Yeah,
with John Cusack, where they had the arcs, the ships.
They were building the big ships privately, right? Where nobody knew about them, and so when they knew this was going to happen, people spent $1 billion to get on these ships.
Right. So, what's more realistic? Only rich people get to survive, or there's a lottery?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm kind of thinking the rich people.
I'm going the rich people.
I'm going rich
because,
people.
Because Oliver Platt had a line in that movie, which, you know, resonates. It's probably the most truest thing in 2012 when he said, you know, it's like, you know, of course the billionaires are going to go. Who do you think funded everything?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's exactly right. You think it was private? You think it was like, you know, taxpayers? No, we had to go through private enterprise. And the trade-off was, hey, you give us $4 billion, we'll make sure you guys have a seat.
Yeah, don't you think like Elon Musk is going to be rescued, right?
He'll be fine.
Mark Cuban's getting on the boat.
Yep.
Right? Right? Mark Zuckerberg, right? Everybody, the Saudi prince, he's getting on.
They're definitely getting on.
Are you kidding? Right.
The royal family, because they're currently the largest landowners in the world.
Yeah,
they're getting on.
They're getting on too. The Athletic has a great, if you get the Athletic, they have a great one of those, one of those like oral histories where people get interviewed and they got their quotes about what it was like to go through something. And they show like, you know, hey, oh yeah, we were down in the belly of the stadium when the earthquake hit. But this one is Peyton Manning's free agency. And it's got Peyton, all talking about what it was like when he was released from the Colts all the way through. But the big takeaway was he was very close to being a Washington Redskin. He loved Kyle Shanahan. He sat in a room with Mike and Kyle Shanahan going over film and loved Kyle Shanahan. John Elway told Mike Shanahan later, after he flew out to Denver, met with John, and later signed with the Broncos, he told Mike Shanahan that Peyton was very close to signing with the Redskins. Now, I'm like yesterday old when I found that out, because I don't know if I live in, because of where I live, maybe is because in Nashville, we had the belief that he was seconds away from signing with the Titans. But the Redskins, I didn't even think were on the radar at the time. They moved up and got Robert Griffin III in the draft. They were able to make a trade, got Robert Griffin III, so they no longer needed Peyton Manning. But it was funny because the teams I heard at the time were, there was the Tennessee Titans, and then there was San Francisco. The Broncos were a player, but I didn't know what they were going to offer. But Nashville, I kid you not, this town was ready in 2012-13 for Peyton Manning to sign with the Titans. Everything looked like it was going to be in perfect place for him to do that. But Washington, I didn't see this on the radar. It's a very, very good read. And it just gives you a little bit insight of what, from the despair being released to the rebirth in Denver, what he went through.
Wake up call. continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb as we close out the week. And as we get into the weekend, we always like to feel good. So what's the good of the day?
Good of the day is normalcy.
Normalcy. Well,
it's
like
what
that.
We're all striving for, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Then we should look no further for normalcy than LeVar Ball opening his mouth.
Ah, I love LeVar Ball. This should be very good.
Yeah, LeVar Ball recently said that the Warriors would be a bad spot for LaMelo Ball to land. You know, the Warriors do. I still think that if they have the best chance in the number one overall pick.
Right, they do.
And LaMelo is touted or looked upon as being a top pick in this coming draft. But he wouldn't want them to go to the Warriors because of Klay Thompson and the other guys on the team
being better than...
First of all, just stop. I love how he goes, Klay Thompson and the other guys.
Right, that's true.
But because...
You have a brain freeze there for a second?
Yeah, well, it's...
Or is he making a point about certain players?
It's LeVar Ball. I think he's making a point every single time he opens his mouth. But the reason why he doesn't want LaMelo to go to the Warriors is because LaMelo's no follower. And if he goes to that team, it's almost as if he's going to be forced to be a follower.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's... I mean, I disagree with him, but at the same time, like, whoever gets drafted by the Warriors is going to a championship team.
Yeah,
like, let's make that very clear. This is one of the little problems that that you have when you give the worst team a number one pick. Every now and then, a team that is loaded but has injuries stinks. And then they get the pick, and then everybody's healthy.
And let's look at it, too. They're not the worst team. Their two biggest stars were injured, and their third star left.
Right. Right. If there was some sort of commissioner's, you know, challenge flag that could be thrown in this draft, this would be one of
them.
This
would be it.
Right? Like, no. You're not getting the number one pick.
That's not right.
They're not doing that.
Come on. I mean, they're going to get the number one overall pick. I mean, imagine if this was last year, okay?
God.
If this was last year, you would have had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson coming back from injury. And, oh, look who's there, Zion Williamson.
Here's Zion Williamson. Oh, God, that would have been nuts. It
would have been murder. The rest of the league would have been like, okay, we quit.
So prefer like a Trae Young situation where LaMelo's really good, but the team around him is awful and they can't get out of the basement?
I think that's what he wants. You know, LaMelo needs to be the star of the team. LaMelo needs to lead the charge because he's a shooter. You know, I mean, somebody on the Warriors isn't going to pass the ball to LaMelo in the waning seconds, and they should.
They should
pass it to LaMelo because he's that good. You know, don't give it to Steph. What's Steph going to do?
So
Steph.
Yeah, right. He didn't mention Steph. This is an interesting dilemma for like a guy like, you know, LeVar, who's a dad. He wants his son to be in the best situation. He wants him to be a superstar, right? He wants him to be like in it.
Who doesn't want their kid to be a superstar?
But at the same time, your kid has a chance to win multiple championships. Like, that dynasty is going to kick right back into high gear the moment they get their number one pick and they get healthy again.
But he did say, you know, if the Warriors were to draft LaMelo number one, LeVar did say, at the end of the day, this is about money and business. Melo will put people in them seats. That's one thing he can do. Who in the draft going to put people in them seats besides Melo?
This guy is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah,
man.
So I mean, that's why if we needed some normalcy in our lives,
that's awesome.
You know, LeVar Ball is there to provide.
2020 got nothing on LeVar Ball.
No, not at all.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
This one kind of hurts a little.
Okay,
I think we have to say goodbye to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, I've been seeing a little bit of this. I haven't dove into the articles.
Yeah, they filed. I think they filed Chapter 13.
I think there's no way you can come back, right?
Or chapter. I don't know what chapter it was. They filed one of those chapters.
Right.
And, this is, I mean, I don't know how much it is now, but I know for you and I growing up, this is a huge deal.
Chuck E. Cheese was a big deal. I loved Chuck E. Cheese. And when I was a kid, it was such a treat. But Ours was a good little distance away, but whenever we went, it was awesome. I mean, but I was a Chuck E. Cheese kid that grew up without all the tickets. Like we had, like I was more of the arcade-ish Chuck E. Cheese. It seemed like every time I took my kids, it was always about getting as many tickets as possible and put it in the ticket monster and getting the prizes.
I remember playing a few games of skee ball to get tickets to get like an eraser or something. But Chuck E. Cheese that stands out to me. First of all, it was two stories, which was amazing.
That's pretty great.
But because the upstairs was a whole arcade section, and there was the Star Wars arcade game. I must have dropped hundreds of dollars.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And it was, I mean, all you were an X-wing fighting this digital looking TIE fighter, and that was the entire game.
I just think if your business is based on kids touching everything in sight, I think it's very hard to make it.
It's going
to
be tough.
It's going to be hard to come back.
I mean, I guess, you know, there were already declining sales already because, you know, pre-COVID, and then COVID happened. And, you know, that, I mean, that's the last place I'm going to take my kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's just no other way around it.
There's no amount of disinfectant.
Didn't you do a story about the pizza?
Yeah. Remember they were Uber Eats or Grubhub or something like one of those services where they were under the guise of Pasquale Pizza.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Which was the, if you remember the band, which I think they got rid of the band too.
They probably did, right?
Remember that was a highlight too. You're just sitting there eating pizza and all of a sudden the band woke up and you're like, hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, yeah. So,
and I stand corrected. I also, not only was the Star Wars game, but it was the bubble hockey.
Oh, bubble hockey, sure.
I could not get enough of that.
Yeah, good. Well, sorry about that for Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, that's
like when I took my kids there, it was because I had to pay for my sins. I mean, that was basically as an adult, I had to go there.
Yeah.
You know,
now you're
kids
like
screaming and hollering and yelling and running around, and I was tired, and we took our kids there, and I was like, what are we doing? Why are we here? Oh, yeah, that's right. I must have done something horribly wrong in another life. To get this little version of hell.
And can we just be honest with ourselves? The pizza wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad? No, I never had a problem with the pizza. They had every reason to make crappy pizza as cheap as possible. We weren't there for that.
We weren't there. Right? I was there for the soda fountain and the games.
And the games, right? So if you just gave me bread dough with ketchup and cheese, I would have been fine. Yeah, but it was pretty good pizza. It was pretty good. So that's too bad. There's going to be a lot of businesses that just won't make it because their business model is just, there's no other way around it. You better be cured of the virus or you can't participate in this. What's the dumb of the day?
I don't know how many times we can warn this great citizens of a planet. I'm not saying just America. I'm going to go planet.
Okay.
The movie industry is really suffering right now.
It really is.
And they're trying to find different ways to open safely. There's going to be one movie that'll be made because the lead actress is immune to COVID-19.
Who's that?
A robot named Erica.
Erica the robot.
Yeah, it's actually an AI robot.
So she's going to act in a movie? Or is the movie about an AI robot that she's in?
No, she will. Obviously, I think it'll be an AI-type movie. But she is a robot. She was developed by Japanese scientists Hiroshi Ishiguro and Kohei Ogawa. They created Erica in real life as part of their study of robotics. Also taught her to act, applying the principles of method acting to artificial intelligence. So they're making a $70 million science fiction film where they're going to rely on her as the artificial intelligence actor.
Okay. Now, there was one actor... one time said that being an actor is being the most honest liar in the room, meaning you're playing somebody you're not, but everybody accepts that and you're honest with it, that this is not who you are. Right. Famous example, James Gandolfini, the late James Gandolfini, forever tied to Tony Soprano. He couldn't have been more opposite of Tony Soprano in real life.
Yes.
He didn't talk like that. He didn't act like that. He didn't have a temper like that. In fact, he was very, from people who worked with him, he was very very laid back, wore sandals, very 60s hippie-like. Exact opposite of his character. But that's the honesty of acting, right? There's that you're lying, but you're also honest. So basically taking that, we've now created AI to lie to us honestly.
Yes.
Right? So we're not even going to get a robot that is telling us the truth. It's now manipulating us to believe it's something it isn't. That's scary that they've been able to do that. Listen, it's amazing to me when I go, Alexa, who won the 2001 World Series? And she goes, the 2001 World Series was won by the Arizona Diamondbacks over the New York Yankees.
Oh, Four games to three.
That's fabulous. Right? That's awesome.
Yes.
It'd be one thing if I said, Alexa, who won the 2001 World Series? And she said, well, you would know. You were there. You were alive at the time. Like, if she had a conversation with me.
Right.
Or, like a real person.
Or if she just went and decided to say to you, oh, you know, the Baltimore Orioles won it in, you know, a three-game sweep over the Giants.
Right, exactly.
And then, like, well, that doesn't
and we
make
had an
sense.
Argument about that. And then
and
she
that's
said,
what's
oh,
happening now.
Now that's what's happening.
We have, I mean, okay, it's one thing. I mean, if we can get the Rosie the robot, sure, I'm on board.
Sure.
I'm on board with Rosie. Rosie was not going to hurt anybody. And for all you kids out there, that's the robot from the Jetsons.
That's right. Did all the cooking and cleaning.
Yeah, that'd be great. But I think what we're leaning more towards is Terminator.
I think that's right.
I mean, we're providing these robots. We can't help but pump more information about our livelihood and our society.
So listen, when the
COVID's going to wipe us all out, and all that's going to be left is the robots going, well, I need a friend. And then that person's going to make two people, and then so on and so on and so on. And then you have a robot race leading planet Earth.
So when the robot troops come to your house and they go, don't worry about it. It's all good. Come with us. Everything's fine. You don't trust it because we've now trained
they
them.
They will probably be the ones who will say, hey, you won the lottery. We're taking you to this bunker.
That's right. That's right.
And so, it's not really a bunker.
So, Michael, when you get there first, let us know how the robot overlords are treating everybody before you vouch for Ron and I to get into the cave. That's right. I know.
We're gonna have
we can't
actor.
Learn at all. All right.
Quick question. So if this AI robot is really good, does she qualify for an Academy Award?
That's a great question. That is a great question. And you know what? They should just give it to her anyway. Just because. Why not?
You have naysayers going, she was programmed to win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, no, that'd be great if she did. That would be great. Can you imagine losing to a robot?
Yeah.
Imagine if you're like Meryl Streep and you lose to a robot. God, that would drive
you
nuts. You
got to figure out something. Like, if it was like a, what was that daytime soap opera? Suzanne Lucci.
Susan
I mean,
Lucci,
I know she
yeah.
finally won. But imagine, you know, she's up there for her 18th nomination and she loses to a robot. And you're like, son of a...
I know. I can't win. This is worse than losing to a child. Ah, this is awful.
So, yeah.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday. It's SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, you got tired, aching joints? Blue Emu is the answer. No chill, no burn, no odor. Number one selling Emu oil brand in America. It's made in America, and unlike the competitors, they don't use capsaicin, which is chili peppers, or menthol, which is the ingredient responsible for the cold sensation. Use Blue Emu. I'm going to be using Blue Emu this weekend. I got to move all sorts of furniture for a party we got for my son's graduation. I'm the help.
Yep.
Move that table. Move that chair. Move that. Move that. Tony, go get the ice. Tony, go get this. That's my job.
I guarantee I'm going to cover myself with Blue Emu. I got to mow the lawn. I went out in the backyard yesterday. I was like, oh, man, has it been this long?
Oh, I know. Especially when it's thick. And you're like, oh, boy, muscle it through.
Yeah, this is, I got to go over this once. I got to go over it twice type mowing. I'm not looking forward to it.
So the number one selling Emu oil brand in America is Blue Emu. Again, no chill, no burn, no odor. All right, so as you head into the weekend, here's the sporting events that are going on this weekend. You got the Travelers Championship, TPC, at River Highlands in Connecticut. For whatever reason, it's a popular stop on tour. I think the tournament does really well for the players. They like all the amenities and the perks of playing there and agreeing to play there. They like the course. It's easy. Like Mackenzie Hughes shot a 60 yesterday, a 60. Oh my God, these guys. You got NASCAR running two events at Pocono over the weekend. The Xfinity Series also racing at Pocono. So there's that.
That's it.
That's it. So we'll see as we get it's the last weekend of June, and then July should get really interesting, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Like July should get really
mid-July on.
Because you're going to have the baseball players checking in for some sort of camp by like the 8th or the 10th. So with the, you know, the first week nothing, and then the second week, I think that's the week you're going to start seeing guys go, "Eh, I don't know if I want to do this." Or yeah, I'm all in, you know. So you'll have that. And then by the end of July, training camp is scheduled to start for the NFL on July 28th. They haven't moved it, haven't budged it. And then you've got the 30th where the NBA will be starting its season. And the NHL, we're still kind of waiting on their finalization of the two hub cities that they're going to be using.
But yeah, when are they going to come up with those?
Can you hurry up and be part like of the fun?
It feels like they've been saying, yeah, we got two cities. And they're just not announced. Are they waiting till the very last moment so no one can travel to these cities? No one can make travel arrangements or plans?
Exactly. So they're going to – Las Vegas looks like it's going to be one city. That's the favorite. It's a betting favorite for the U.S. And I think
so Vegas is betting on itself.
Yeah, right. And I think Toronto is the Canadian. How is that going to work with travel? Like if I'm a team and if I'm going to I got to go to Toronto. Like if I'm the Tampa Bay Lightning and I got to go to Toronto.
I mean,
I thought
all the countries around the world are banning the United States.
Me
like they're not accepting anybody because we're idiots when it comes to COVID.
Exactly. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you back here Monday. Jake Asman Show coming up next. It is Wake Up Call. It's SB Nation Radio.